This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Bryce Kuhn, alongside Glenn West. No, we are not talking about coaching changes. We are not talking about football personnel. It's officially baseball season, and man, we're here getting ready to kick off what should be a fun 2024 season. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, we appreciate you there as well. You can follow, subscribe to that feed there too. Glenn, man, the time has finally come. We kind of go back in time there for a little bit, and you were just slaving away, working those hard, long hours over there in Omaha. And I mean, I know that was grueling for you. No enjoyment whatsoever. No. That you had to do that. But now we fast forward to 2024, a brand new season, new faces, some returning faces. But man, it feels good to get that first presser out of the way. We had scrimmages this past weekend, more to come. Man, just your thoughts on the fact that baseball season is just 3 weeks away.
Yeah, that first baseball presser where they kind of really opened the floodgates with Jay Johnson and a lot of the players that we get to talk to, that really kind of is the start for me when I start to ramp things up and kind of shift focus to baseball. I mean, the football recruiting and keeping up with the Tigers on the football field is always going to be a 24/7 grind, but it's nice to have the baseball beat at this time of year. You know, obviously the way that LSU's perform these last couple of years gives you a lot of excitement for the future. And I think the way that they've assembled this team, you know, it's a little bit different. You know, this is really the first year where Jay Johnson has kind of assembled his entire core. I mean, like this is a full Jay Johnson team. You know, there's no more Dylan Cruz and Trey Morgan and a couple of these guys, Ty Floyd, Gavin Dugas, Kate Beloso, some of the core that you had really been relying on these first couple of years. Those guys are all gone now. And so you really get a chance to see, I think, what a full Jay Johnson team put together looks like. I think that they've done a nice job of hitting some portal needs this offseason. And, you know, they've seen the kind of development I think they want to get from some of these younger guys who are kind of their time now to step up in the program. So I think you're really in a good spot here if you're LSU and the pitching staff we can talk a little bit more about, but yeah. I think that's going to be kind of your bread and butter, your strength of this team. You were out there on Sunday, and I'm sure you saw quite a bit with what this staff could potentially be, and then mixing in some good position players as well, some guys that are veterans from the transfer portal like Michael Braswell, Mac Bingham, but also having some really exciting young talent that you're really hoping takes that next step in Jared Jones, Paxton Kling, Brady Neal, Ethan Fry, Jake Brown. There's really just a long list of guys here that I think LSU feels really, really good about that could potentially help get this team back to position itself to Omaha. But it's going to be a grueling long year. They've got a really tough schedule this year as well, and it's going to be very interesting to see how they navigate it. But just overall thoughts, I think it's going to be a fun year. It should be a little bit different maybe than last year. You know, you don't have the
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Overbearing expectations on this team like he did with last year, and for that team last year to kind of fulfill all those expectations, I mean, that's rarely seen in college sports, where you have a team that is so highly regarded and then goes on to win it as well. So like there's a lot of things you can take away from last year's team in terms of messaging and how you want to approach this year, but also this is a new entity. This is a new team. And I think that Jay Johnson and these players understand that, and they're ready to get the ball rolling here on February 16th.
We obviously are as well. To get to see this team in action, which, Glenn, I mean, we let's start here. We'll go kind of roster construction, and then we could take a look at some positions as well and some cool stories. And yes, that includes Josh Pearson playing second base. We can talk about that as well. The roster construction, you mentioned that this was a team, and I wanted to hit on this because as I was kind of, you know, going back and listening to some of the audio, I want to give credit where credit's due. 2023 was an unbelievable year. But I do believe that in terms of managing a game for Jay Johnson, like, you didn't want to run yourself out of an inning by playing small ball because you knew what you had, like, as a lineup. This year, I think that we potentially get to see the Jay Johnson pushed the creative abilities of what he can do with this roster, because you don't have a Dylan Cruz, a Trey Morgan, a Cade Beloso surrounding a Tommy White. You still have some really, really good bats there and some impactful bats. But I think that, like, we're going to get to see more of, you know, why Jay Johnson's paid the big bucks and why Jay Johnson is probably one of the best coaches, if not the best coach in college baseball. You kind of get to see him go to work with a team that, you know, I don't know if they're going, Glenn, let's just be honest, I don't know if they're going to hit 144 homers like they did last year. I mean, that was absolutely ridiculous. But I don't know. I mean, just kind of your thoughts as we start with the top Jay Johnson. I think this is going to be allow him to kind of, you know, not that he didn't do a great job in 2023. It's not what we're saying here, but more just kind of dig into his bag of what makes him a great coach and a great manager.
Yeah, I think Jay Johnson's really excited about this year for that reason. They have, like you said, they have some really good bats. I mean, I think that they've seen some development from even guys like Hayden Travinsky that leads you to believe that they can kind of protect guys like Tommy White. And, you know, I was writing this piece that's really already up on our site, and I'm sure a lot of people will see it by the time this is being broadcast. But I do think that there's going to be some questions here about how do teams kind of pitch around this lineup. And I think that Tommy White's going to be right at the center of it in terms of how do they think that they can kind of get around him. I mean, he's coming back as one of the elite college hitters. Last year he separated his shoulder 20 times, and he still had led the NCAA in RBIs and had over 20 home runs, and really did not make a whole ton of glaring mistakes at third base either. Like, he was really, really good, and now he's coming back and he's extremely healthy. And I think that certainly should spell some worry in some of the opponents that LSU will be facing this year. But I think there's also probably the line of thinking from a lot of these teams LSU plays that they might be able to pitch around Tommy White to some degree, because he doesn't have a Dylan Cruz safety valve there in terms of just the elite caliber player that Cruz was last year. But I think that there's some avenues that can go down. I think when you look at it, Travinsky is a guy that I think could be a really good bat to throw around Tommy White. You look at Braswell is probably one of their more consistent hitters in the fall. Maybe you stick him in that number two slot and then White at that number three slot. I was just kind of toying with a batting order from what I could see as a potential order earlier this year. Mm-hmm. I think I had Travinsky right there behind Tommy White, just kind of a veteran bat. That you know you're going to get a good at that. And so maybe that kind of helps with teams that might want to pitch around Tommy. But and then Jared Jones, I think, is another guy. Like, if Jared Jones hits the way that many believe he can and show that consistency week in and week out, he could be one of the best power hitters in the entire country, not just in the SEC. I mean, he's got 20-plus home runs, 70-plus RBI potential. If he's able to kind of cut out the strikeouts, cut down on the strikeouts, I should say, and just kind of, be that power hitter that I think LSU really needs him to be in this lineup. I mean, they have a couple power hitters, obviously, with Tommy White and with Travinsky, but Jared Jones, I think, is the guy that you really want to see to kind of take that next step as a power hitter and a guy that can really move this offense and get him a lot of runs in a very short amount of time. So, I think that to me is going to be really interesting to see how they kind of line up the order. We know Jay Johnson loves his left-handed batters, so I was trying to figure out a way to squeeze in four or five lefties. I think I got to four with Brady Neal at catcher. But Milazzo is going to play a lot too, and he's going to be a guy that took real strides at catcher last year, not only behind the plate, but as a hitter as well. So it's going to be very interesting to see kind of what Jay ultimately decides to settle in on. And I think you'll see that in the non-conference, where LSU will really be able to get a good chance to see what they have with a lot of these guys, rotate a lot of different lineups and orders, and just see what kind of is the best fit. And so there's a lot of different options open there. And I think that's what really is exciting for Jay Johnson as he heads into year three here, is just being able to toy with this lineup and have a lot of different options that are available to him.
Yeah, you're going to have about a month when you go from opening day against VMI at Alex Box until you roll into Starkville on March the 15th for that first SEC weekend series. And I'm looking at your batting order here, and you talked about that just the balance that Jay Johnson likes to have. I mean, you think about the lefties that are gone. Trey Morgan, one of the best bat-to-ball contact guys we've seen at LSU in a very, very long time. Braden Joubert is another one of those guys, a power bat from the left-handed side that we saw. And then, obviously, you bring back Pearson, which I posted in our thread, just kind of getting a feel. Like, I think if this LSU offense is going to really, really be something special, yes, we know the name's Tommy White, but you have to have those auxiliary pieces. I think that Josh Pearson, like, if he is just consistently making great contact, it doesn't have to be hitting, 20, 25 home runs, but, being that gap-to-gap guy, that is going to pay off dividends and just for what you want in his offense. And then I also kind of throw this one here. There is a reason to be excited about Jake Brown. I watched about four or five at-bats from this kid on Sunday afternoon, and in just not favorable conditions. If you play baseball, no one likes to hit when it's like 40 degrees and windy outside. That's pretty much the conditions they had all weekend. And, man, Jake Brown was putting some really, really good swings on the ball as well. So I think that they have that balance there. But like you said, it's just kind of growing and maturing into, creating it to where they had a lot of veterans last year. They were able to do that. Now it's maybe some more younger guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think I stuck Jake Brown in like the eighth spot, but he was a name that I was seriously considering sticking behind Tommy White, like as a kind of the safety net valve for Tommy, because I do think that there's a lot there for LSU to be really excited about in this freshman hitter. He's going back to the fall. I thought he was one of those guys that maybe kind of had a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a kind of welcoming to freshman moments there. You know, he was just kind of, I don't want to say going through the motions, but he was just trying to pick things up, I think, a little bit. And towards the end of fall, I don't know that there was a better hitter, maybe shy of Michael Braswell, than Jake Brown. I mean, he was very consistent for LSU. You can see why Jay Johnson was sticking him in the outfield so much. He's a great athlete, a guy that I think could also slide in and help out at first base if you ever want to make a change there. Or just kind of whatever happens, you know, I think, for LSU to kind of have that versatility. And that was something that I asked Jay Johnson about, asked a couple of the players about, was just the positional versatility that I think is on this roster will really be able to help this team, because there are so many unknowns going into this year. Like, you don't go in knowing that Dylan Cruz is going to be that everyday starter in center field. I mean, you hope Paxton Klink can be that. You hope that Mac Bingham can be that if that's the route they want to go. But I think there's some unsettled positions here as we look at it, you know, 2.5 weeks out. And so having guys like Milazzo, Brady Neal, like Travinsky, who's been playing first base and catcher and designated hitter, like Jake Brown is playing first base and outfield, Josh Pearson playing second base and outfield. Like, there's a lot of guys I think you can move around in this lineup that make a lot of sense to give you the best chance of winning. And I think that's really what I think Jay Johnson's excited about, what, you know, just kind of the versatility that they can have on the position side. And look, we haven't even talked about the pitchers yet, but we'll certainly get into that. But I think the versatility you have on the pitching staff as well with a lot of these arms, you know, they have, I believe I counted it up in the fall, 8 or 9 left-handers that could really, really be something for Jay Johnson and for Nate Yeske, the new pitching coach, to work with. Like, there's a lot of positional versatility, I think, in terms of how you use guys, what roles they're in. And as we saw last year, like, the roles that you have opening day very rarely are the ones that you have at the end of the season. And so kind of figuring that out along the way during non-conference, I think, is going to be really, really important for LSU.
We're going to hit on these three very, very quickly. We have outfield, infield, and the pitching, which we'll save pitching for last because that's a little bit more in-depth. And I thought it was hilarious that Gavin Guidry was asked the question of, you know, who's really standing out, and he kind of laughed and he's like, a lot, like there's a lot. That's a good sign for LSU. Let's talk about it real quick, because you've already kind of mentioned it, infield versatility. They bring in Michael Braswell, who, I'm going to tell you right now, you know, Glenn, whether this kid puts up numbers to be drafted in the first 5 rounds of the draft, this is a good locker room guy. I could tell that as soon as he stepped onto the podium, how he conducted himself. This is a guy who has played SEC ball and was on a, you know, really good South Carolina team last year and said, hey, I want a chance to be the everyday shortstop. He's going to get that at LSU. And he's breaking in a new double play partner, Josh Pearson. But your thoughts on this, you know, versatility on the infield specifically, and just Josh Pearson. We know it's currently going to be Tommy White, Jared Jones, and you talked about a little bit of options that could help out. But with Braswell and Pearson, it has a chance to be kind of maybe a new combination that LSU baseball fans can get used to.
Yeah, I mean, look, the first couple of years Jay Johnson was here, it was Jordan Thompson that started every single game for him at shortstop. And, you know, when we talk with Jay these last couple of years, he spoke really highly of Jordan Thompson and just kind of his role in the program, what he meant to those first couple of years in Baton Rouge, kind of locking down that shortstop position. There were certainly some ebbs and flows with Jordan Thompson's career, but Jay Johnson thinks he was one of the most impactful players on this roster these last couple of years. And so having to replace that, you know, that consistency and that durability that he showed these last couple of years, I think that was a real point that Johnson wanted to really find in terms of just finding that next guy. And very, very quickly he settled in on Michael Braswell. And you know, the story goes that he called I mean, really from Omaha, that is when he got Braswell on board right before they left for Omaha. They brought him in on a visit, and I think a day or two later, Braswell was committed to the Tigers as like their first commit out of the portal that year. So obviously somebody that Jay Johnson looked at and scouted and thinks very highly of. And it sounds like he's made some real progress at the plate, which is where I think going back to his South Carolina days, he kind of talked about this as well, that he was not a very polished hitter over there the last couple of years. He thinks he's made some really significant strides this last fall, and I'll be interested to see what he looks like early in the season at the plate. But defensively, really athletic. I think he's going to be able to really help you out and be a really consistent part for you for LSU early in the season. So, but locking down that chemistry with Josh Pearson, with Ben DePolt, with Steven Milam, those are guys that I think you could see all have opportunities throughout the 2024 season at second base. But I think it's going to start with Josh Pearson. I think he's a veteran guy that has been, look, going back to his true freshman year a couple of years ago, somebody that Jay Johnson has been really consistent in leaning on. He really likes the discipline and the veterans approach that he has at the plate. The results weren't always there for Josh last year as he kind of tried to round into form early in the season, but I thought he took really good at bats. And towards the end of the season, you saw those really good at bats he took kind of come to fruition in the postseason, and certainly in Omaha when he had a really good kind of couple week stretch there to help LSU win that championship. So I think he's a guy that has built up a lot of trust in the program, somebody that can kind of take over that Gavin Dugas kind of I'm all about the team motto.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what I think of Josh in terms of just the guy that's going to be the next one of those big time leaders. You know, if he's back next year, wouldn't be surprised if he's sporting the number 8 just because of how impactful he's been and how good of a leader he's been for this program. So there's a lot of things that I think about this position group that could make sense. And I think him kind of settling in as an everyday second baseman would be the ideal scenario for LSU to kind of round out that Braswell, Tommy White at third, Jared Jones at first base. That would be kind of the ideal infield that LSU would love to roll with for most of the year.
We take a look at the outfield now, where Paxton Kling might be. Obviously, we talk about Jake Brown and some other guys, but Paxton Kling, it's kind of his time. I mean, this is a guy who was in the opening day lineup last season. And maybe, Glenn, maybe we all kind of just said, oh, well, you know, we got a guy named Dylan Cruz on the roster, so why wouldn't Paxton Kling be any different? And I think that's unfair to Paxton Kling and probably any other player in the country, as we've really learned the Golden Spikes Award winner there in Dylan Cruz is one of a kind. Your thoughts on Kling's future in center field and then what could be around him? Obviously, Jake Brown could be a big part of that, but this outfield has some maybe – I don't want to say inexperience, but it is kind of when you get to the amount of college games played. But, man, it's can be uber talented out there and roaming the outfield for LSU.
Yeah, I mean, you're replacing your entire outfield from last year. I mean, Cruz is gone. Braden Joubert is gone. And then you've moved Josh Pearson from left field to second base. So, like, that's all three of your spots in the outfield right now are going to be new players out there. And I think, you know, the one thing that I was struggling with on that prediction piece was – kind of pegging out who's going to play what in the outfield. Like I eventually settled on Paxton Kling in center field, just because I think that's the ideal way that Jay Johnson would love for this season to go. But I also could see a scenario where you go with a veteran like Mac Bingham in center field and you stick Paxton in one of the corners, whether it's left or right field. So, and then obviously Jake Brown also fills, you know, right or left field as well. So I think, you know, Jake Brown's going to be one of the corner outfielders. They did have him actually playing a little bit of center field last fall, but I don't know that that's going to stick. I think that they'd really like for Paxton Kling and for Mac Bingham to really take that center field spot. But, you know, those are three really good players. I mean, like Kling is everything that we've heard and that he's made the strides this fall as at the plate to be a consistent source for you. And, you know, he's not going to be the 18 to 20 homer guy like Dylan Cruz was. I think he's going to be more of a hit for contact guy, a line drive guy that you're hoping has a really high on base percentage. And once you get him on base, he's fast, man. I mean, he's probably one of the fastest guys on the team. It was just that last year was he hit a bit of a wall, a freshman wall in terms of like strikeouts, and you hope that he's kind of made those strides as a player. So, I think he has all the potential in the world to be that kind of next defensive superstar for LSU in the outfield. It's just about how consistently is he able to make up for it at the plate. And if he can be a 320, 330 kind of guy for you with low strikeouts and lots of hard hit balls, Jay Johnson's going to take that 10 times out of 10. And I think, combine that with what he can do and with what Mac Bingham can do, I think Jake Brown can be your kind of power guy in the outfield, the do-it-all utility guy that can not only make some really good plays for you, but also I think can be a playmaker at the plate in terms of driving guys in and also hitting some home runs. He's got some sneaky power to him, even though he's tall, but he's kind of not, and he's built. I mean, he's tall and he's built. Yeah. There's a lot of room there, I think, for Jake Brown to have a really, really good freshman season. We'll just see if that wall comes. I mean, it usually comes for most players. We'll see when that is for Jake Brown, how long of a leash he has, and who maybe some of those other options could be as LSU kind of rolls through their non-conference schedule.
Yeah, we're going to pass on catcher, and it's not because we don't value it. It's because it's pretty much, you feel like it is what it is. Hayden Jurvinski has been phenomenal. If you haven't already caught the highlights video that we post over on our YouTube channel, you can find it. Hit a ball in about a 10 miles per hour wind coming at him, and just about 7-8 rows up in left field. And it's just a testament to what this kid is. Then you get Brady Neal back healthy. We all saw the potential that he had last year. And then Alex Malaza, who is probably one of the best locker room guys in the country, plus is a pretty solid catcher in his own right. All right, so that's catcher. We move to pitching now, where, Glenn, I know that old Bill there just sent out the press release. Tommy White and Luke Holman have been named to the 2024 D1 Baseball Preseason All-American Team. So as we talk pitching here, I venture to say this team's going to have to lean on it early for a couple reasons. There's a lot of, questions and stuff that still needs to be filled out in the lineup. But also, too, if you've watched baseball for any point of time, whether it's the major leagues, minor leagues, or college, pitching is always ahead of hitting early in the season. It's just how it is. These guys are ramping up, hitting. You can only get so many at-bats during these scrimmages. And really and truly, live ABs are what is your bread and butter. That being said, if you're going to have a year where you know the pitching is going to have to carry you early on, you would love to have LSU's pitching staff. A lot of options that Gavin Gidger joked about. Luke Holman, obviously going to be a big piece of this, but maybe some other names that you're just kind of excited to see what they can do, whether it's a midweek game or a weekend game here as they ramp up for SEC play.
Yeah, there's just so much depth here, and we spent 20 minutes talking about the positions players because I think that's probably the most exciting thing for this team, just because it's kind of the most unknown. I think this pitching staff's going to be lights out. I mean, they might not have the generational Paul Skenes kind of talent on this roster, but they have a lot of very, very good college arms and guys that you could see drafted pretty highly over the next couple of years, whether it's next season or the season after. But I think your weekend rotation is going to start some combination of Thatcher Hurd, Luke Holman, Gage Jump. Those three really have seemed to kind of separate from the pack in terms of starters for the weekend. I think midweek starters, you're looking at Nate Ackenhausen and Griffin Herring, two guys that are returning from last year's championship team. Both had huge moments in Omaha, have built up a lot of trust with Jay Johnson, and have seemed to take some really good strides too in year two with the program. So I think those kind of five, or maybe the ones that you settle in on when you think about starters, kind of deep, middle innings, middle relief kind of players. I think you're looking at Cam Johnson, you're looking at Justin Lower, you're looking at, a couple of these, young freshmen, maybe a Kate Anderson sneaks in there. There's a lot of different options that I think they have, with this roster. But I do think that, the strength of this team is going to be the depth and the versatility that they have with their arms. Because like I mentioned, they have eight or nine guys that I think are lefties that could really help out. I mean, I didn't even mention DJ Primo, who was a guy that we talked with players about, with Jay Johnson about this last week. And like three or four different players said that he's got the nastiest pitch on staff, which is his slider. He throws 97 from the left side, but he's also got a slider that he mixed in with that as well. And he's a guy that was a redshirt last year, didn't even pitch. And he was one of the players that Jay Johnson told me this year that, you know, you're going to look at him and you're going to watch him pitch. And you're going to be like, how is this guy not a part of your staff last year? And you could throw Aiden Moffitt, the other redshirt freshman who or sophomore, because he had one or two opportunities early in his year last year. But somebody who throws upwards of 100 miles an hour from the right side, I think you could certainly see the development of him just kind of trying to get that fastball under control. I think he's somebody that's really going to help you out. But Justin Lower for me is going to be kind of that guy in terms of like relief pitching. And, I think that they're going to go to him a lot at the end of games. You're going to see him. You're going to see Cade Woods. You're going to see, we'll see if maybe Jaden Newt, who was injured for most of last year, if he could sometime this year get himself available. I wouldn't guess that Chase Shores is able to do that, but maybe he makes a surprising comeback last year, like Javon Coleman. Speaking of Coleman, you still got him. You still got some pieces from last year's team that are back and on the roster. So Christian Little is a guy that I think has made some strides in the fall, and they're really excited about him as well. So there's an open well of options for LSU to run with this year from the pitching side, and going to be very interested to see how it all shakes out. But, I think that those three starters, Holman, Hurd, Gage Jump, those should get you through some really, really some good times and some bad times. Like, I think that this is a staff that will be able to, when you're struggling at the plate, struggling on offense, that should be able to help kind of keep you in games where maybe you need some extra time to kind of get back into it. And I think that the staff is very, very capable of that.
If you're not watching, you didn't see me smirk a little bit when Glenn was going through this. If you're listening to the podcast, it's almost equivalent to what Glenn just did. Is like when you get that super long receipt and it just keeps going and going with all like the ads and the deals. And that's essentially what we just kind of read off.
I was scrolling through the roster, looking at names, and I was like, oh my God, this guy. I mean, there's just so many guys that I think LSU could use from the staff perspective. And that's just such a good position to be in, because people remember 2 years ago when it was just not the case and they just didn't have the arms to hold up for, an entire season and postseason. So that's a really good advantageous position for LSU in this year.
Yeah. Sunday got the chance to watch Micah Bucknum, which he showed some pretty good stuff. He did give up the homer to Travinsky, and we'll kind of see. I don't even know how to pronounce the young man's name, but Fidel Aloha. Has some nasty stuff too. I just think that this is going to be a spot where you're going to have some super competitive competition to get midweek innings. Like midweek innings are going to be valued even higher for this pitching staff to get that work in potentially. I think that's going to be something kind of fun to watch. And that's all I got to say on pitching, because like you said, you did a great job covering. But I think that midweek innings are going to be a premium if you're a pitcher on the staff, because you want to get that 2 to 3 innings of work and showcase what you can do. So it's exciting stuff.
Yeah, I'm out of breath after rattling off all those names. So I think we should wrap this one up. But it's going to be a fun season. I think a lot of people are looking forward to it. I think I'm looking forward to it, maybe just for a different reason this year, just because I think that this is really the first year that we get to see a fully Jay Johnson constructed team. And look, he did amazing things with the guys that he inherited from the Mineri era early on. But I think this is going to be a good test, just to kind of see what the future of the program looks like. And that's exciting for me. And I know a lot of LSU fans as well.
Yeah. Glenn, you mentioned a couple of weeks ago, you said, I don't think you'd ever heard of the key debts of VMI, of the Virginia Military Institute. I don't know why. It's just some, I know why. I know what that is. It's one of those things where, hey, I don't care who it is. It's a different jersey, and they're going to be playing inside Alex Box, and we're ready for February 16th to be here. He's Glenn West. My name is Bryce Kuhn. College baseball right around the corner, and you're defending national champions. While the fans can keep saying it, this team is not looking into that. They're looking at they're going to continue to attack, and that was a different team last year that won it. This is a brand-new ball club, and we can't wait to see them take the field here in 2024. We'll catch you next time here on the Go 24/7 podcast.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot. don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.